I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Michelle Barker joins me now. She's an editor, a poet, an award-winning writer, and is currently studying for a master's degree in UBC's creative writing program. She has just published her first novel, The Beggar King. It's a young adult fantasy novel. I'll get her to tell us about the book, about Jordan Elliott and his gifts, her process as a writer and more. She's published chapbooks of her poetry and had some of her work included in the 2011 Best Canadian Poetry Anthology. She's also received a National Magazine Award for her personal journalism. The website for more is at michellebarker.ca. The Beggar King is published by Thistledown Press. Please welcome to the Planta Online program in Penticton today, Michelle Barker. Ms. Barker, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me on the show.
You're very welcome. So this book, The Beggar King, I mentioned in the introduction that the protagonist is Jordan Elliott.
That's right.
Yeah, so he's the main character.
Yes.
Where is the book set?
The book is set in an imaginary world, and most of it takes place in a city called Cir, C-I-R, which actually was the name of our boat. I don't know how that ended up being the main city in the fantasy world, but my husband and I owned a boat called Cir, and we never could figure out what the name meant, and we always thought that the people ran out of space on the stern. They'd wanted to put circumnavigation and only got as far as CIR. And we sold the boat a long time ago, but the name sort of stuck with me, and that's where the name of the city came from, which is where most of the book takes place.
Is this the boat that you sailed on from Vancouver to Hawaii?
It is, yes.
Yeah. And so you did this, how long ago was this?
The sailing trip? Oh, that was quite a while ago. That was probably about 22 years ago when I was young and still didn't think that anything terrible could happen to me. I'm not sure if I'd be willing to do it again, although my husband still talks about going back out there, but I don't know. It was a very big, kind of scary trip. I'm not sure I'd be willing to do it again.
How long did it take?
It took us 29 days. We were very slow. It normally takes people a lot less time than that, but we had a slow boat, and of course we weren't in any rush, but we hit a period of calm for about 3 or 4 days where the ocean was like a lake. There was just nothing going on, and there was no way to get us moving again because we had, of course, a limit on the amount of fuel we could use, and we didn't want to burn it. So we sat there for for 3 days.
Yeah. So back to The Beggar King. So it takes place in Cir. When, roughly?
When? Well, it's in a whole other world, so I suppose I think of it in medieval terms because there's not electricity or anything like that, but I don't have a year in mind.
Yeah. What inspired you to write a book like this? I mean, is this the sort of genre that you read in?
It is one of the genres that I read in. I was inspired to write the book in a strange way because I was asked to give a presentation to an elementary school class about being a writer, and I found that they were so interested in what I was talking about that I thought, I'd love to write a book for that audience. And that's sort of where it started, although, of course, that's not where it ended up. I decided to do fantasy just because I happened to have been reading fantasy, and I thought, it would be kind of fun to set a novel in this, world of my own imagining and everything. Of course, I didn't realize at all how much work it was going to be. That came as kind of a shocking surprise. Once you start figuring out what you're going to do, it all, it has to be logical and it has to be consistent, and of course you can't copy anything that's come before, and that's a lot trickier than it sounds. We take a lot of things for granted. All of a sudden I'd be writing something and think, oh no, that was in Lord of the Rings, I can't use that. So and I guess one of the ideas that I had also came from a quote from Baudelaire that really got me thinking. It's actually in the movie The Usual Suspects when Kevin Spacey is talking about Kaiser Soze. I don't know if you probably have seen that movie. I think everybody has. And he says that the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was in convincing the world that he didn't exist. And that sort of got me going on the idea of a character like the Beggar King who functions in this world as the boogeyman. Most people in the world don't believe that he actually exists, and I sort of thought that it would be interesting to write a novel with a villain that most people don't even believe in. So that's sort of what got me going in that story.
And so Jordan, he's 15, right?
Yes, he's 15 for part of the novel. He turned 16 halfway through.
Yeah, and so this is having a character like Jordan that's this age. This is something that the reader, I guess, that you want the reader to relate to?
That's the idea. I mean, I do. The narration is shared by Jordan and by another character who's actually of adult age, except he's not a human. He's an undercat, which I guess requires its own explanation. So in that way, he has sort of an older perspective, and I'm hoping that maybe that might draw an older audience as well. But essentially, it is the experience of an adolescent boy, you know, trying to make sense of the world and trying to find his own way and to figure out what he might do with the rest of his life and to not get led into trouble, which, in my experience, is pretty difficult for adolescent boys.
Yeah. Is he modeled after someone you know?
He isn't. No, I have three boys. But I did not use any of them as models for him. I sort of drew from, I drew from the experience that I've had as a mother of three teenage boys, but also of my own experience, you know, growing up as a teenager and trying to remember what it was like, you know, what the struggles were like, where you're sort of, you've got one camp in adulthood and the other camp still in childhood, and you're being pulled in both directions at the same time, and you can't quite find your place. I think it's a rich time in a person's life because there's so much going on, and there's so much struggle.
Yeah. It's a complicated time, remembering back to when I was 15, yeah.
Oh, it's complicated for everyone. I don't think anybody would want to go back to that time. You know, we're all sort of happy that we survived it. And so that's what I really wanted to draw on, and I didn't want my kids to read themselves in the book, that's for sure. So I really sort of tried to stay away from doing that.
And you said that you put some of yourself in it and some of what you remembered being 15 into the character, did you?
Oh, I think so. I think probably every writer does that to a certain extent with almost every character that they create, because you have to draw from your own sort of, particularly your own emotional landscape, you know, of what things were like when you were that age and, you know, how you would feel if something like this happened to you, how you would react. I mean, in that sense, you're always drawing from yourself, I think.
Have your sons read the book?
They haven't read it yet, no, but they're going to, I'm sure. My daughter has read it.
I see. Yeah.
Yes.
Did she like it?
She did. She liked it very much.
Yeah. I'm interested in the writing process when I have writers on, because I'm not a writer, but I think the work that you all do is quite fascinating. What comes first for you, the plot, the story, or is it the characters?
Oh, interesting. Well, I'm just going to focus on this project.
Yeah.
I think probably the setting was the thing that I had to pin down first,
mm-hmm.
because given that it's set in a fantasy world, you're dealing with a whole other set of circumstances. You know, you can't. Whereas in a regular story, I would have my world right outside my door. In this sense, I really had to pin it down first as to, you know, what things looked like, all of it, what the environment was like, what people ate, what they wore, and all of that. So I think that I spent a lot of time pinning that down before I did anything else. Of course, I had a story at the same time, but the original story that I started with is not the one that I ended up with at all. I think part of it was finding my way, and especially finding my way with the setting. And once I had the setting pinned down, I had, you know, the characters sort of came up out of that, and then I had to work with the plot. So I think that was more or less the order that I worked in. Not consciously, of course, but that's how it turned out.
This is the first novel you've written?
No. I wrote.
It's the first you've published, though, right?
It's the first I've published. I wrote two before that, and they're sitting somewhere quietly, and they're never going to come out.
Really?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
The world is a better place without them.
How do you come up with the names for characters? Because I've always thought that was interesting, how an author names a character, say.
Yeah, that's a very interesting process. And, you know, sometimes they literally fall from the sky, and I don't know where they came from, and they're just there. And the amazing thing with the name of a character, too, is that it can really set your character up right away. The one character that I'm thinking of in particular, his name is Starmillion, which is a very unusual name. I have no idea where that name came from. It just plopped down into my lap. And the moment that I had the name, I had the character. I knew everything about him right away. Unfortunately, it doesn't often happen that way, and more likely, I am more intentional about the process. I use baby name books, believe it or not, because a lot of them online have the meaning of the name as well, you know, the origins. And that, for me, has a lot to do with how I name a character as well, because, for example, there are two sisters in the book. They actually are also sister moons. It's a little bit complicated because there's a mythology behind them. And I was very intentional on how I named that, because one of them sort of represented a lighter, good force, and the other represents a darker force, and I wanted the names to show that. And so I went through my baby name books for that. But yeah, so it really depends. I mean, sometimes I'm just very lucky, and they just happen to come to me.
See, it's fascinating that you would research, say, what a name means. Because, I mean, in life, I don't think one's name, predestines them to anything. Well, I mean, maybe it does, I don't know.
No, I agree with you. And the thing is that, you know, that background doesn't even come into the book. I would never sort of say, you know, this is her name and this is why. But I think that somewhere subconsciously we sense that. You know, like the name of the one sister, that the good sister, is Lucinda, and you don't really think much about that, but there's Lucid in there, you know, and somewhere maybe in the back of your mind there's a little bell being rung that you realize that, you know, there's more to the name than just what's on the page. So I think that in a lot of ways it's important, but you don't really think of it. And I think that probably other writers do this too. I mean, when you think of the name of Voldemort, I mean, Mort is dead, right? So I'm sure that's what she was thinking about when she chose that name in Harry Potter.
Yeah. Well, you've written poetry. You've worked in journalism. In terms of writing a novel like this, it's all writing, but, I mean, it must be a different sort of writing that one does, is it?
Yes. I think so, because, for example, with poetry, I would spend more time, first of all, with pen and paper, sitting and just sort of allowing my mind to wander and letting it go wherever. I suppose you do that, too, in writing fantasy, but fantasy, that's a good question. I guess it's more intentional in the way that you've got a story laid out that you're working on. Your brain is in a different place.
Yeah. You were born and you grew up in Vancouver, is that correct?
I did.
Yeah, and you also spent some time in Quebec, if I understand. Is that right?
I did. I spent 10 years there.
Yeah, what brought you there? Was it work?
Not exactly. My husband had gone to law school there, and he always had decided that he wanted to go back at some point. And we had been in Vancouver for a while, and I guess we decided that we needed a break and wanted to go and do something different, and that's where we ended up. And, yeah, we had a farm over there. It was wonderful.
Yeah. And so you live in Penticton now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're in the creative writing department at UBC, is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. They've had some of the people who've gone through that and some of the people that teach in that some great talent coming out of the schools and talent that teaches there. How does that work in terms of getting your master's? Are you on campus or...
Well, it's called an optional residency program, and the idea is that most of it is done online.
I see.
But you have the option in the summers to attend workshops, and you don't have to go down if you don't want to. But I've been to two of them already, and I'm going to go back again this summer, and they're great. The whole program is fantastic.
Yeah. Is that here at Vancouver?
In Vancouver,
yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
You go down for 10 days, and it's a pretty intensive program, but it's fabulous.
Yeah. In writing The Beggar King, did what you learn in the program, what you've learned thus far, did that inform the process?
It didn't really, because The Beggar King happened before I started school.
I see.
So I suppose in the editing process it probably did, because that was, you know, just within the last 6-8 months that we were editing through the book. And then I would have, you know, put the things that I'd learned into practice. But the book itself was written before I actually started the program.
We talked about Hawaii and sailing there from here in Vancouver. Do you guys travel much?
Well, since we've had kids, we haven't traveled quite as much. We did spend a year in France, and that was lucky that we did. We did that when the kids were young, because after a while, kids don't really want to go anywhere. You know, they have their friends.
Yeah.
They have their friends, and they sort of set down their roots, and, you know, mom and dad say, come on, let's go spend a year, you know, in Italy or something, and they look at you like you're out of your mind. So it was a good thing we did it when they were young, and since then, you know, we've gone on little vacations, but we haven't really done anything wild. So,
I also read somewhere that if you weren't a writer, the job that you'd like to have is that of owning a used bookstore.
Oh, yeah, I'd love to do that. There's a fantastic used bookstore in Penticton, and it's just huge. And, I think it would be wonderful.
I think I've heard of it. What's it called?
Oh, you know what? I don't even know what the name is.
I think, isn't Adam Schroeder, isn't he from Penticton? Or does he live in Penticton?
I think they do.
Yeah, I think he told me about this one.
Yeah, it's a great bookstore. It's huge. They have, you know, they have rows behind rows. And if you go and ask somebody for a particular book, they always know where it is. It's just incredible.
It's just a fascinating species of people that run these, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I think it's terrific.
Yeah. I mean, I don't go anywhere unless there's a used bookstore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I won't travel to, like I would never have gone to Portland if there wasn't, you know, the huge bookstore there in Portland.
Yeah, no, they're great. I know there's one in Victoria, too. If you haven't been to that one, I think that's called Russell's Books.
Right.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
Well, will you write other novels?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I have two more planned for, it's sort of, I don't know if I like to call it a series in the sense that the story is not going to continue, the narrative won't continue, but it will be thematically a continuation of this book and set in the same world. I have one that I've sort of made notes for and one that I have a full draft already completed. So, oh yeah, that's on the agenda.
Yeah, and is that the professional work now? I mean, do you still do journalism?
I don't really. I'm mostly writing poetry.
I see.
Yeah, that's what I seem to be, you know, either I've worked on some short stories. I'm not really sure what I'm going to do with those, but I'm mostly working on poetry right now, and then I'm going to be getting back into the fantasy writing, I think.
And in terms of your day, and the amount of time that you spend writing, whether it's poetry or whether it's fiction or whatever else you might write, do you have set hours? Like, is it a 9-to-5 thing for you, or?
Yeah, I would say like 8-to-1,
pretty
much. Yeah, once the kids are out of the house, they've gone to school. That's I sit down right away. And I try not to open my Facebook because that is just one of the world's worst time wasters. I can't get over it. So I try to stay away from that if I can. I'm not usually very successful. But I spend pretty much most of my day at my desk.
You know, it's funny that you mention that because I was thinking the other day, I mean, we've lived life without Facebook and Twitter before.
Yeah, how did we ever exist?
Yeah, and then, I mean, how would we survive without it now?
You know what? It's the worst thing in the world, I think. Because when you're sitting at work, I mean, I work on a computer, you know? And so I'm trying to work on a story or work on something, and I hit a wall, you know, inevitably. And what do? I go check my email.
Yeah.
It's terrible. And you practically have to sit on your hands to keep yourself from doing it. But anyways, it's one of my enduring challenges, and I really try. I should just shut it off. Go and unplug my internet or something.
Michelle, it's been such a pleasure talking to you today. I've enjoyed this, and I'm looking forward to reading your book. Good luck with it.
Oh, well, thank you very much, and thank you so much for having me on the program. I've really enjoyed it as well.
You're very welcome. The website for more, michellebarker.ca. The book is called The Beggar King. It's published by Thistledown Press. Michelle Barker on the line from Penticton, British Columbia in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plata.